With practice and qualifying in the books, it's time to get ready for another COTA race as we get ready for the first road race of 2024. We'll break down DraftKings thoughts, give you updates on the outright betting card, and more on today's Angle of Pursuit podcast.
Ross Chastain used the wall all the way around this racetrack.
Logano has been the class of the field.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
Yeah, I need to change my underwear.
Brian Twining, even while we're fully engulfed in the madness of March as we watch the end of Oregon and Creighton as they go to double overtime.
Game's ridiculous.
There's always time for NASCAR. There's always time to talk strategy, get ready for some DraftKings. We got two rounds of practice today, which was awesome for figuring out who we like, who we don't like, all that good stuff.
Yep.
As well as qualifying, all of that settled. The betting board has been up to date, so we can get some outright thoughts there. I guess, how's everything going and where's your head at as we head into COTA on Sunday?
Yeah, and first of all, as people can see, I am actually at my home base as my plans changed last minute. I decided not to go to Vegas, which was probably better. Just, it's been nice to be able to use my own bathroom and have my own food, eat whenever I want, not worry about my spot being taken at the sports book. But
yeah,
getting the NASCAR here. Yeah, practice and qualifying are over with. Of course, we saw most of the familiar names up top. Got to say, Ty Gibbs, man, that dude is bringing some heat every single week. And that first win is coming soon. Will it be this week? We'll see, because there's a lot of tough competitors up at the front.
Well, in the last four first time winners in the Cup Series have all come on road courses. So,
nice sniff it there.
Yeah, this would be an incredible timing. I think it was Ross, Daniel Suarez. Forget who else they. I was looking. They brought that up during qualify or during practice today. I thought that was very interesting. So we may. Oh, Van Gensbergen at Chicago, and then somebody else I forget. But yeah, so practice and qualifying is in the books. I'm gonna bring up the DraftKings pricing. We can run through it, we can get some thoughts. As I mentioned, we had two rounds of practice, which I think was good for both the drivers to figure out what they wanted to do and for us to kind of see where these cars are at. Obviously, we have single lap speed. We have five lap averages for some of these guys. Let's start at the top. We have four drivers that are in the 10K. Tyler Reddick starting third at 10.5. Chase Elliott starting ninth at 10.3. Kyle Larson starting 15th at 10.2. And Chris Bell at an even 10K. Let's start with Reddick, who didn't look amazing. Was fine, was able to throw down the lap he needed to qualify third and start near the front, which at this track, when you're going to need to get to the front and dominate laps early and often, is going to be important. So I guess with someone like Reddick, how concerned are you? Is he someone that's jumping off? And then beyond Tim, Elliott, Larson, Bell, all very interesting options. Who's the most compelling to you?
This is really hard, because with the stage breaks back, and if you caught any of the Xfinity race, that stupid track limit rule in turn six, I think it,
yeah,
I forget
in the
what,
S turns basically.
Yeah, in the S's, that is going to wreak havoc on bets, on DFS entries. Like I'm kind of gun shy going into tomorrow because of that, because, you know, you have all these uber aggressive drivers like a Kyle Larson, for instance, like a Tyler Reddick, who we saw Reddick in practice spin it around. So
like Ross Chastain, who we're heavily invested in.
Exactly. And so it, you know, it's kind of scary, especially when you're looking at the top of the board here. But I do think if you're just looking from pure race winning speed potential, but then also the auxiliary type of stats you're looking at, I think Kyle Larson starting 15th at 10.2, I feel a little more comfortable going to him, because you have the 12 starting spot difference between him and Reddick, especially when you could get a guy up at the front who could lead laps that is much cheaper than these 10K guys.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that because there is a couple options. One guy in the 9K, one guy in the 8K who both make a lot of sense and depending on how you want to approach it. But Reddick, I think, is still very compelling. We know good he can be at this track. I think they'll get his car where it needs to be. And obviously, the way they were able to get it to be able to run one lap at the speed they did so they could get third overall in the starting grid, I think, was important. But yeah, I trust Reddick to be really good on Sunday. So don't fault anybody who goes there. And if, you know, him not looking great in practice and being really expensive gets some people off of him, that's even more interesting to me. So I'm curious to see what his ownership looks like. What his ownership looks like when we get to lineups locking on Sunday. Let's talk the next range where we have another potential dominator. We'll start with Martin Truex, 9,800. William Byron, who put it on the pole and looked awesome, 9,700. SVG is starting 12th at 95. Kyle Busch starting 16th at 92. And our guy Ross Chastain starting 6th at an even 9K. From a betting perspective, Ross's numbers didn't really move a ton, despite him qualifying strong and looking decent in practice. I guess, are you a little more pessimistic about him? And then beyond him, you know, are you getting to Byron as a dominator and the other? What about the other guys?
This is Ross Chastain's best qualifying effort at COTA that we've ever seen. And he had like the sixth best practice times as well. So Ross Chastain for me is still my favorite value, my favorite bet in terms of placement markets. When you're looking at that, which you'll see, as long as you subscribe to the newsletter, he will be prominently on there. And then
which is completely free, by the way, and the link is in the description. So make sure you check that out for your Sunday morning final bets, final draft Kings picks, full betting card, all that good stuff.
But yeah, so just, I mean, starting sixth, obviously you're not going to get a huge difference in place differential points, but in terms of somebody that could potentially win the race, yeah, I love him from this spot because he looked fine in practice. He looked fine in qualifying. And one thing that I took away from the qualifying, the final qualifying round from him, is that they ran one lap and didn't go back out to run a second one, which tells me that he is very comfortable in his car. And he was just like, all right, no, I got the feel. I'm ready for the race.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like where your head's at. And I think he is somebody who could lead laps, maybe not in the very beginning of the race, but maybe as we, you know, get into stage two and then obviously down the stretch, we think he can absolutely win the race. So could be the guy you need towards the end as a kind of like a second dominator, depending how you build lineups.
I don't hate SVG either for what it's worth.
No, in a good car, we know what Trackhouse can do here and, you know, has shown the ability. Obviously, this isn't Chicago Street. It's a little bit different, but he has driven supercars at this track. So, you know, a little bit extra. And he drove in Xfinity on Saturday. So another little feather in his cap. Are you interested in Byron as a potential dominator?
So just to go back to SVG real quick, we got corrected on the previous show. So remember, he is driving for Colleg, but it's like set up by Trackhouse. So
yeah. He's obviously driving, like, he's driving the 16 of Dinger, but it's Trackhouse's like garage guys and stuff. So
yeah, so I'm not scared off by that.
And
at all.
Trackhouse parts and Trackhouse everything.
But yeah, and then on to Byron. I don't know. I know he's really good, but I wouldn't consider him. If this was Tyler Reddick on the pole and he was 9,700, he would be a must start.
Yeah. Looking at total speed rankings over on iFantasy Race, Byron was second last year. He was at COTA and was 12th in 22. has a eighth best average at all different road courses. Obviously got the win at the Watkins Glen last year. So that was, you know, impressive. He's obviously figuring stuff out. We know how good Hendrick can be here as a whole. So he is a little bit interesting to me, but I think he's probably third among the Gibbs, Byron, yep, and Tyler Reddick trio.
It will be interesting to see what his roster percentage is, though, because a lot of people are going to be gravitating towards the guys that we're talking about, the Tyler Reddicks, the Chase Elliott, just because he's popular, and then the guys in the next group that we're going to mention, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's quite compelling, and obviously it depends on how you want to build lineups and what you want to do, how easy he is going to be to get to. As we dive into that next range, we have the Dinger starting 14th at 8,800. Ty Gibbs starting second, 8,700. Looks really good. Like we mentioned, a good spot for a first win. Could dominate laps early. Daniel Suarez, 8,500. Trackhouse has good success on road courses. Has done well here in the past. Could make some sense. Hamlin starting eighth. Don't know that I love Hamlin, as they mentioned on the NASCAR betting preview show. You know, the old guys tend to do better at a place like Sonoma as opposed to Coda. And we've seen him qualify strong in the past and then
sucks on Sunday.
And then just, yeah, not be there on Sunday. And he's definitely one of those guys that could like easily, you know, stay out at the end of stage one, get the points, end up a little bit behind the eight ball in stage two, and then on to the next week's race. And then McDowell starting 27th at 8,000. I guess let's start there because he's somebody we're both optimistic about. Starting 27th, opportunity to move forward. Obviously, this is a tough place to move forward. You're going to need a little skill. You're going to need a little luck, and you're going to need to maintain track position. So I guess, do you trust McDowell if he gets track position to hold it? And can he be somebody that, you know, starting 27th, we're still optimistic about finishing in like kind of that top 10 range?
Well, yeah, I mean, his worst finish amongst the three Coda races we've had here is 13th, and that was when he started 27th in 2022. So we've already seen him do it before, and we saw what the type of speed and how good he could be at road courses last year. So, you know, I think he's a little inflated in terms of price based on that. And I don't know. I don't know if he's got race winning speed, but with the stages back and with the track cutting BS happening, like, I think a top 10 is definitely still in order for him. And I'm not scared away by his starting position because with the stages, he can easily flip that, you know, do a quick pit stop or some sort of strategic move to where he can make up the track position that he's lost there. So I still like McDowell, probably a little bit less than I did early in the week, but yeah, no, he's definitely somebody that's still on my card. But in the 8K range, I think Gibbs, if you want an early dominator, like somebody that's going to lead 98% of stage one before he short pits the stage because he's trying to set up the race win, I think he's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw him, like, he was awesome at Watkins Glen. He was awesome. You know, he obviously didn't run anything in 22, but was good at the Glen, was good at the Roval, was fine at Coda last year. Like, he's a guy that's learning, getting better. This is a spot where he can obviously find a way to get into victory lane.
He ran the Xfinity race today, so...
There was a lot of crossover between the trucks and Xfinity this week. I think just to get laps on the track and know where your vantage point should be, even if the vehicle you're driving is a little bit different. Are you interested in Suarez 8,500 starting 19th? There's a bunch of guys kind of in that like mid-pack range that are compelling at different prices. Is he among those guys for you?
Honestly, I'd rather go to McDowell, who's cheaper, and then the guy that starts the 7K range in Buescher, or hell, even the top two guys in the 7K range, Buescher and Bowman, as we transition to that. I would much rather go to them because you're saving, I mean, $700 could mean the difference between putting a Tyler Reddick into your lineup versus a, you know, Chase Elliott, who, I'm sorry, but Tyler Reddick has taken the crown as the new current road course king. So,
yeah, no, I think that's a great transition and a great point. But Buescher starting 20th last year, started 32nd, ended up finishing 8th, was the third best, scored the third most DraftKings points. Is a good road course racer. And then the guy behind him, Alex Bowman, maybe my favorite mid pack guy. I started writing up my newsletter article, and he is the guy for me starting 17th. This is a guy who's finished top 10 three straight years, including third last year and second the year before. So he's a guy that can move forward, that can be really strong. And we know what Hendrick brings to the track each and every week. So he is really compelling. We also have Blaney, Logano, Cedric, Briscoe, excuse me, and Kobayashi, all starting, all rounding out the 7K range. So I guess, you know, Buescher, we're both on. Bowman, we're both on. Who do you prefer out of those two?
I'd probably go with Buescher, just from overall performance dating back to the beginning of last year into this year.
Yeah, I think you hopefully don't have to pick, but I would go Bowman, but I Buescher definitely feels safer. What do you think about the Blaney, Logano, Cindric group? Obviously, Cindric has had success here, but has looked like a dumpster fire for about a year now between the end of last year and the beginning of this year. Logano and Blaney, this just isn't a place where they do well. Although I could see Logano being a guy that stays out, grabs track position, and mucks it up and finishes like seventh or something.
Yeah, he gets lucky with a caution or something. You know, the Penske boys, I don't know why Austin Cindric has to walk around the track wearing those glasses to make himself look so smart, because sometimes on Sundays he looks incredibly dumb when he's racing.
He might just need them to see, Brian. I know it's a crazy thought. But
like last week, for instance, like what is he doing going below the speed limit in the fast lane, just right in the center of the track? And then I know he's been great at road courses before, starting 11th and only 7,200. I actually don't hate that, just because we've seen him be really good at RCs throughout his career. So it's not somebody that I'd be opposed to putting in a lineup, but I am just not a fan of what he's been doing. And then Kobayashi, look, they talked about it. Denny Hamlin talked about the speed that he brings in the simulator, but this dude is like, he seems to be a crazy man on the course. And if anybody is going to be the first one to bring out a caution because he spins or he goes too hard into turn one, it's probably going to be somebody like him. So
especially when he's
avoiding.
Yeah. Especially trying to impress the NASCAR guys as a guy who, exactly, get more consistent ride time.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest a name. Try not to throw up. I'm in on Chase Briscoe.
Oh my gosh.
Fourth best, five lap average. Was a mid-pack guy in terms of fastest lap. I don't think he's going to win the race by any means. And top 10 is probably his upside. But I think it's there. I think he's interesting. And for a guy starting 32nd at 7,100, if you're telling me he finishes 12th, last year, LaJoy started 27th and finished 11th, and Harvick started 29th and finished 13th. Like, I think Briscoe could do that and be kind of like a top 10 DraftKings score on Sunday, and starting where he's starting and the price he's costing, he will be in one of our lineups, whether you like it or not.
I don't hate it, because just going back and looking at the three races we've had here, there's a decent amount of guys who all started mid to low to high 20s in the 30s who have finished inside the top 10. And Briscoe is amongst the group that I think could possibly do that. So, yeah, I don't hate it. You'd be saving a ton of salary, but obviously it'll be tough to stomach.
Yeah, and you got to figure out where you want to dive in, where you want to sacrifice, and where you want to gamble a little bit. You don't want to do all gambles, but He is an interesting guy. I don't think many people will be on him. So if he pops, you will have a nice day. Let's talk 6K. Brad K, 6,900. Eric Jones, 68. Bubba Wallace, 67, showing speed. If he figures out road courses, he might actually be a legitimate like title contender in the next season or two. Gregson starting 39th. Austin Dillon, train wreck of a Dillon. Carson Hocevar, Todd Gilliland, and John Hunter round out the 6K range. Do you care about anyone that I just mentioned?
I mean, Eric Jones is starting last. How bad could it get?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a sentence.
I mean, if he could just crack the top 25, like...
Wouldn't you rather go to Brad K, though? I know he's a little more expensive.
No, absolutely not.
No?
He just seems to be... He seems to be lost.
Yeah.
At all road courses, for that matter. Like, he needs to stick to ovals.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what he does.
I mean, in the same breath as Joey Logano, though, if anybody's going to turn a shitty race into a decent finish just based on, you know, taking two tires when everybody else takes four or staying out and then lucking into a caution, it would be somebody like him. But just his racecraft at tracks like this is just not something that I'm excited about when playing DFS.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Yeah, Eric Jones has been really like this whole range has just been like pretty garbage here and pretty garbage on road courses kind of in general. I'm trying to talk myself into somebody. Like Austin Dillon was 11th in total speed rankings here last year.
No interest.
Maybe he figures it out. I don't know. Maybe this is just strange to skip. Especially when you can dive into the 5K, and I think your saving salary and the range of outcomes, I think, is just as high. Like Josh Berry, Justin Haley, Corey LaJoie, he's starting fifth, which is not appealing. Ryan Preece, Richard Stenhouse, do we trick ourselves into that again? Zane Smith, like I don't know. It's pretty gross.
I mean, like this week, I almost feel like I would be comfortable accepting a minimal gain by just using like the middle of the salary board and just avoiding the guys at the bottom, because I don't have any trust in any of these guys to do much. I mean, I don't hate Ricky Stenhouse, but I mean, his name is Ricky Spinhouse for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a great place to spin out. But Priest, I think Priest and Stenhouse are fine. Like, you don't feel good about it. And if you're doing Chase Briscoe and other garbage up higher, maybe you want to avoid this range if you can. But if you're trying to pile in expensive guys, if you want to do the Larson thing and a Byron and a something else, you're going to have to dive down here. So if you want to do Priest with Stenhouse, don't love it, but it makes sense. It could work. Just know there's a lot of risk. That's not really a cash lineup strategy. That's more of a GPP contest.
Yeah.
So with that said, Brian, let's build a couple lineups. We have to build three because we're entering the three max each and every week. So with our first one, do you want to start with Reddick? Do you want to start with Gibbs? Or do you want to start somewhere else?
Okay, well, let me ask you first. So... do we think we're going to see one or two, we're going to see like two cars competing up front for the majority of the day, leading the majority of the laps? Or yes. Is it going to be like the first race we had here where it was just kind of like a spattering of different people leading?
I think for the majority is going to be like two guys. And then I think we're going to get some random Chase Briscoe, Ryan Preece, Michael McDowell, something in state, like at the end of stage one, as cars start to pit early with the stage brakes returning. So, but I think for the majority, it's going to be one or two cars really owning the Dominator stuff.
All right. So we got a hit on our Dominators then.
Yeah. And I was writing that up when I was working on my article. Cause like if you go in on Reddick and he's just ass all day, you have no shot. So
yeah,
build your lineups accordingly.
All right, I'm gonna tee it off here. I'm gonna go with Gibbs. Let's start a lineup with Ty Gibbs.
I mean, he gets us, so we get him.
He gets us, and he apparently washes feet. So
I'm gonna do Bowman because I said I liked him the most out of that mid pack.
All right, so then. Let's go with Buescher here.
Yeah.
Let's just do the Bowman Buescher combo.
Yep. And I'm gonna get gross and choose Richard Stenhouse.
All right, go to the top.
So we can have some fun.
And then I think we can squeeze Larson in there.
Yep. Yep. And then let's see here. We have 10-1. Do we want to put Byron in?
I hope that
Gibbs and Byron can. But I guess if we think Larson as a mid pack guy can actually. So are we? But we're banking on Larson hopefully leading laps by stage two, stage three, and contending for a win by building this lineup.
Yeah. So I think by playing Larson, you're hoping that he gets at least a top five finish and potentially leads a couple of laps and then maybe competes for a win. Like, I don't think you could play him if you think he's just going to be a top 10 car.
What about Ross?
I love Chastain, but.
I mean, I think the decisions. Like if we're honestly,
whoever gets out to the lead, they're going to lead laps. I mean, we've seen this so many times with this new damn car. Like whoever's out front with clean air, they're going to lead laps. It's going to be hard to pass.
Yeah.
And if anybody jumps to the lead on the first start of the race going into turn one, it's probably going to be somebody like Chastain who's on row three, who could just dive bomb it in there immediately. Like, I almost feel like the guy starting on the front row are sitting ducks.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a terrible point. So I guess, cause I don't want any part of Kyle Busch. I think it's really Truex, Byron, SVG, Chastain. I mean, Suarez is sort of interesting. McDowell. I don't know. It's.
Well, the thing, because we already have a guy starting right at the front, if we've got both front row guys, we run the risk of, say, them crashing each other out. And then your lineup is completely crashed. Whereas if we grab an SVG or even a Chastain starting a few spots back, I mean, I know it's only five spots, but you're not losing as many points as the guy on the pole.
Yeah. Like, I don't love leaving a ton of salary on the table, but I almost feel better scrolling down a little bit. And even if it's a McDowell, I think SVG or McDowell. Let's do, huh?
Did you want to do McDowell and just hope? The only thing is, I don't think McDowell can win unless it's like lucked into the W. Yeah. Just like I don't think Almendinger can win. Think about it. He's in the fucking third college car.
No interest in Christopher Bell. I guess we prefer Ross to Bell, right?
I do, yeah.
Bell had the fifth fastest.
Chastain's great here.
Yeah, let's just do Ross. Let's not overthink it.
Yeah. All right, you take the tee now.
We started with Gibbs in the last one, so let's start with Reddick in this one.
Yikes.
I just think he's so safe.
All right. We're going to go with Van Gisbergen then.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to squeeze Bowman in. I don't care.
Gosh. All right. This one we're going to go with McDowell and not Buescher.
Okay. Let's just be a more balanced build, I think. I think that could be fun. Buescher is even interesting in this. Oh, Briscoe. Boom. Let's go.
Oh, gross.
Oh, yeah. 7,200. So we probably
want to get really gross. Look,
a little more safety. I mean, we could just do Erik Jones and call it a day.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Let's do that.
Because you don't like Keselowski, Kobayashi, Bubba, Gregson.
Yeah, Bubba scares me starting 10th.
Yeah, there we go. That was too easy.
That one was
really easy. All right, let's do this. Let's do this. Do you have interest in Byron?
Of course. Like, I think he's going to be good, but okay, I mean.
So let's do this. And let's do this. And let's see what we can build.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to completely avoid Tyler Reddick?
Tyler Reddick was in our last lineup.
He was?
Yeah, he was the dominant. He was the first one in. We have Gibson in one. We have Reddick in one. Now we have Byron.
I thought you put Byron in. No. Wait, it was Reddick?
Now you're making me overthink it. Let's go back.
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, Reddick, SVG, McDowell, right, Bowman, cool. Briscoe, and Erik Jones.
All right. Okay, Byron Larson. Do we have Suarez in any lineups?
We do not.
I think that's a good add.
I agree. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, because we only had Buescher in the one, I think Buescher is a good add.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I'm not going to put Bowman in all three, so let's go with Buescher.
All right, and then I don't hate your Chase Briscoe thing, because I think he could, for
two Briscoe lineups, I like it.
Out of top 20, but then that, you know, that kind of puts us
getting frisky with Brisky. Corey LaJoy, 5,700.
Hell no. Starting fifth? Are you kidding me? The only way he's going is backwards.
So in this lineup, we need Byron to dominate most of stage one.
Yeah.
We need some of these guys to get some laps as these guys pit. And then we need Larson and Byron to be contending for the win at the end. Josh Berry?
Yeah, I don't know if I like it.
We need to be below 6,700.
I don't hate Priest, but again, I just like Ryan Priest, but
John Hunter. I like Priest, and he's not Stenhouse, so that's interesting.
All right, yeah, let's put him in there.
All right.
Even though the Fords sucked. I don't think they had a single top 10 qualifier.
Yeah.
Which is kind of scary.
For sure. It's terrifying. But I think that's also kind of where we were at coming in, is like, we don't think the Fords are good anyways. I think it's less about the Ford vehicle itself and more about who's driving them. Like, we don't like any of the McDowell and like Briscoe or McDowell and, Buescher are the only ones that we are even sort of into.
Yeah, that's
like top 10-ish, so it makes sense that they suck. Boom.
Gross.
All right, Brian, we did it. We made three lineups. Don't dupe us. Let's go into lobby. I'll enter these right now while we're talking. So,
look at this. He's going to do it as we're talking, folks.
Yes, proof is in the pudding.
Three max. As you're doing that, I'll talk about the outright market for a second. So we talked about the outright market in the beginning of the week, and the only guy that was priced below, I believe it was like 7.5 or 8-1, was Tyler Reddick. He opened at 4-1. I talked at length about how I wasn't interested in anybody sitting at that 12 or 14 number. And there were really only two guys that I think I missed on, which were actually three, you could have got a better number, but I think only two that clearly shot me in the foot here. With Ty Gibbs and William Byron, both of their numbers have plummeted tremendously. I think Christopher Bell, I'm more than happy with his current price at around that 7-to-8-to-1 number, seeing how well he did, because I don't think that any of these guys should be priced at this number when you have so many of them that are good.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk about, so let me pull up the odds here, and we can go to future bets, and I can show all. So right now, my card sits as Ross Chastain to win at 16-to-1, which is still in market for some reason. Love that. Alex Bowman to top 10 at plus 125, still in market at Caesars. Love that. I took Ross Chastain at top Chevy at plus 600. You can now get him at plus 850. Love that. Bowman top Chevy, 1400. I think you can get a better number now. I have Bowman over Cindric and McDriver as the top four. We'll look at that. You have Chastain at 16, SVG at 16. Thanks, Superbook. Chastain top Chevy, McDriver top 10, McDriver top Ford, Chastain over the Dinger, and SVG over the Dinger. As it sits now, Gibbs shortened significantly and Byron shortened significantly. That it feels aggressive. I obviously wish I was holding a ticket on both of those guys given where they're at and how good they look, but at 4-to-1, there's no chance I'm betting either of those guys.
Well, if I, and I think too, it's important to remember, like, if you watched any of that Xfinity race, there are going to be opportunities to jump on these guys at numbers that are probably longer than this when they freaking pit before the end of stage one, because the books, they cannot hang this same number when they're running 28th as they're coming out of the pits or whatever the hell they come out, like 20th or 18th. Like, they're not going to hang 4-to-1 at that moment.
Yeah. So if you want Byron or you want Gibbs or hell, if you want Reddick, I think waiting and taking them live is probably the move. I think if you're betting now, starting at Christopher Bell at 8-to-1, I think it makes sense. And that you laid out a good case for him. I like him quite a bit. I'm not betting SVG. Elliott at 12, if you like him, is good. Kyle Larson is 16-to-1. I am so friggin' tempted. Like, I'd much rather bet him than Martin Truex at 16.
Yeah, yeah. The Chastain number to me is the most mind-boggling, because he didn't do anything in practice or qualifying to say that he doesn't have a good car. And again, these stage break cautions are going to jumble this shit up multiple times, and that's not even accounting for any other cautions that we get during the race with guys bumping into each other or spinning out, or somebody loses their rear end, like we saw in the truck race, that completely stopped the race there. Like, it's kind of mind boggling that Chastain is still priced so long when he's been so good here. And if we get a late race restart and he starts on row two or even row three again, you bet your ass the Watermelon Man is diving in there and moving people out of the way for the race win.
Yeah, I'm adding Kyle Larson. I might be a donkey for doing it, but he's just too damn good, and I'm getting a great number on him. Is 16 the best number I can get at this point?
Yeah, let me do a little price shop.
Let's see NASCAR.
Yeah, he's 16 at DK. He's 18 at Bet Rivers right now. Holy moly.
That's what I'm betting right there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he needs to go on the card for sure.
Yeah, that's the best number you can get on him, 18.
I love that.
Yeah, I almost feel like the books are pricing this race as if we didn't have the cautions at the end of the stages. Because if we didn't have the stage break cautions... Yes, the guys starting on the first couple of rows, like William Byron, Ty Gibbs, Tyler Reddick, they have a distinct advantage over the rest of the field because there's nothing built into the race that's going to accordion everybody back together.
Yeah. Anything longer than like 20-to-1 or longer, like obviously Larson's 18. He's incredibly interesting. Some of the top guys are interesting. We still both really like Chastain, but Is there any like more lottery ticket guys? Like, I think Bowman is fine at 30. You know, he's Alex Bowman, so he's priced where he's priced accordingly. Do you have any interest in McDowell or Buescher?
McDowell and Buescher at 50. I know their cars probably don't have the speed over the long run in order to do this. But again, we're talking about two guys who are pretty good at road courses. Yeah. And if we do get a late race situation where it's pit or don't pit and these guys stay out and they just try to block, you know, going into turn one or something. Yeah. Why not?
And I know we don't really cover other bets. We'll have those on our newsletter, but if you like McDowell or Buescher, supplementing your outright 50-1 with a plus 420.
That just top, shows you how bad Fords are.
Yeah. As top Fords, I think could be fun. Briscoe's 10-1. And actually, I'm going to add that too.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I hate myself, but it's, it says more about where the Ford camp is more than what it says about my love for Chase Briscoe, just kind of in general. So I don't know. I wanted some Brisky exposure. I'll update the betting card. That'll be in the newsletter. So if you want the full betting card, make sure you go check that out. Hopefully you guys can cash some this week. If you're still watching and you're enjoying the content, make sure you smash that thumbs up. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you go hit subscribe on the newsletter. We really appreciate all of the support and views and engagement we've been getting. It's been awesome. You know, clicking subscribe on a couple things and thumbs ups and dropping comments costs you $0, costs you 15, 20 seconds of your time, and is tremendously helpful to us. And as I mentioned several times, if we can get to 1,000 subs by All-Star Weekend, we will do something really cool for everybody who has been watching and supporting and doing all that stuff. We'll figure out some cool giveaway. Maybe I'll find something on Pristine Auction or do a gift card, or I don't know. We'll figure something out. But really, really appreciate everybody who's been along for the ride. The numbers have been incredible and consistent, and we appreciate the support so, so much. That is Brian Twining. I am Kyle Robert. Let's hit outrights. Let's hit some of our bets. Let's crush on DraftKings. Hopefully these stage break cautions don't completely screw us. And then we'll be back on Tuesday to record. And then we'll be in your feed on Wednesday to recap all that was and get you set as we head forward. So for Brian Twining, I'm Kyle Robert. We'll talk to you next time.